This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. Exploitation of immigrant workers can hardly be considered kosher. Only after a raid by ICE, the Federal Immigration Police, on the kosher agri-processors meat packing plant in Postville, Iowa, in which 389 immigrant workers were sentenced to prison terms, was the extent of exploitation within the plant revealed.
The abuse included child laborers working 12-hour shifts 6 days a week, health and safety violations galore, sexual harassment, and physical abuse. Community residents and religious leaders from the area recently marched in protest of the ICE raid and the plant's abuse of its workers. And leaders from the Jewish community set up a commission of inquiry to set standards, including the inclusion of humane treatment of workers as part of the definition of what kosher meat preparation is. Later in our report, Building Bridges reporter Ken Nash and I speak with representatives from the religious community in Postville and the nearby city of Minnetonka. But first, we go to the recent protest in Postville where over 1,000 people marched and rallied against the mistreatment of immigrant workers. After the rally, speakers we hear, Sister Mary McCullough, the administrator of St. Bridget's Church Parish in Postville.
To protect the worker, to protect dignity, to protect safety, to protect families, as vehemently as they talk about protecting any borders.
I found this toy doll in the parking lot of the church yesterday.
Esta muñequita la encontré ayer en el parqueo de la iglesia.
This is a symbol of the pain of the children. This is a symbol of the tears of the mothers.
Este es el símbolo del dolor de los niños y las madres.
And then we can say together, give us justice.
Entonces podemos decir juntos,
give us a reason to hope.
Danos justicia.
And government officials, give us your attention.
Danos esperanza y atención de los que son elegidos.
No more raids. No more raids. No more raids.
Families together. No more raids.
They all in Postville who are affected by the immigration raid on May 12th, whether you are present in this assembly this afternoon, or are in a jail somewhere in the United States, or have already been deported to your home country, may you know we stand in solidarity with you.
Last evening, I met a little boy that I know well. His name is Pedro. And he said, "Hi, Sister Mary." And I said, "Hi, Pedro, how are you?" And he said, "Oh, I am so sad." And I said, "And Pedro, what is causing all of this?" And he said, "They took my mother away." We're responding to the little children who are having to say, "I might never see my mother again." And then I said, "And where is your father?" And he said, "Well, he's over in that chair." And he was with probably about an 8 or 9 month old baby and with another girl, probably about 4. Looking just terribly forlorn. What is he going to do now? How is he going to provide for the children? I don't know where he was working. If he was working at the plant on another shift, he's going to be afraid to go back there. And he's got these 3 little children saying to them, "Where is my mother?" People just began to come to St. Bridget's because they saw it as a safe haven. They know that we have a Hispanic minister, a person who responds to their needs, and they also knew that by coming here, they would have the support of one another, and in that support, they would feel safe. We never expected to have the numbers that we had. We never expected that this would go on for the extent, but since Monday until now, Friday, we've been probably serving sometimes some meals, 200, sometimes 300, I think maybe today close to 400. I noted the statement made by ICE when they reported at 2 o'clock that this raid had taken place. And one of the lines was, they were doing this because they were upholding the integrity of the immigration law. And my concern is, as they held up the law, they totally neglected the integrity of the person and the integrity of the family as families broke apart. Little children who are being educated, future bilingual, wonderfully gifted people for our total United States community, and we now have deprived ourselves of that gift. So I think the real call for all of us is to work towards immigration reform. I think with the terrible tragedy that we are experiencing here, and it's like as if we had experienced 390 deaths with 300 other people fearing that someone in their, they might experience the same death in their family. They might be the person. And we're trying to deal with that immediate shock and what to do with the immediate needs. But there's something much more that we have to face. And this problem is rooted in a very, very poor immigration system. And we have to do all that we possibly can for immigration reform.
And that was Sister Mary McCauley, the administrator of St. Bridges Church in Postville.
Now, exploitation of immigrant workers isn't kosher, with Rabbi Harold Kravitz of the Adath Jeshurun Synagogue in Minnetonka, Minnesota, and Paul Rael, director of Hispanic Ministries, St. Bridges Catholic Church, Postville, Iowa.
If you could alert us to what some of the conditions are in this plant that actually was raided by the immigration forces before we get into how the community responded and so on.
There was an article in the foreword that goes back probably 2 years that revealed all kinds of concerns about what was happening at the agriprocessor's plant, which is run by the Rubashkin family, and they have products that are under the names such as Aaron's Best that are found all over the country. They're the largest processors of kosher meat in the country and a very large supplier of kosher poultry. The foreword expressed all kinds of concerns about what was happening there. Paul could be able to speak a little bit more detail about the kinds of things he's heard directly from workers. There was a commission from the conservative movement in Judaism that went down to visit Postville in August of 2006. To see what was happening. At the time, a number of abuses came to light in conversations with workers, concerns about issues of workers getting paid appropriately, about appropriate training for the work. Many of the workers are from Mexico and Guatemala, and the issue of training being done in their native languages was raised. There were concerns heard at that time about workers needing to buy used cars from one of the supervisors in order to get a position in the plant. Those who went down went back, and out of that grew the Hechsher Tzedek initiative of our movement to try to create standards to define what would an ethical workplace be, a standard that would supplement the normal kashrut supervision to attest that there was a high level of ethics as well as a high level of kashrut in terms of food. Those standards were being worked on. Actually, they were just released this week. And there were assurances given at the time that these issues were going to be addressed. And the movement went on to try to say, well, how do we define what would be an appropriate standard? I think what happened was there was a goodwill effort to address these issues and assurances were given. It was only with the raids that a lot of things came out. The workers were now going to be deported. 400 about workers were arrested. Many of them are now serving five-month terms. The men, the women are left behind. They will have to serve their terms when the men are done. And those workers started to reveal, kind of confirming what had been raised 2 years earlier and other things, and some really terrible reports that have appeared in the Des Moines Register in the New York Times. And so much more has come out than was even revealed at that time. I think what was particularly upsetting was many of the concerns that had been raised and assurances had been given that these things would be addressed. Clearly, this time had passed and they had not been addressed as had been promised. And so I think that raised the level of concern and feeling that this needed to be addressed. And combined with the issue of how our country is dealing with immigration issues, the issue of worker treatment, the issue of, from the Jewish community's point of view, of what does kashrut mean, all came together, and it was decided that there should be a rally in Postville to support the workers, support the church people down there.
Paul Rael, what was going on in this Platt, what were the conditions like for what appears to be these primarily immigrant Guatemalan workers?
The conditions were basically not very good at all. Those lines were moving frantically. I think that was the worst issue of it all. And that was what, more than anything else, I think created a lot of unsafe conditions. And the other thing is the fact that the hours that some of these men and women worked were so long that they basically were working under pretty exhausted, let's just put that way.
Well, one of the reports I heard was that there were workers who actually had their eyes duct taped shut and were beaten with meat hooks. That was the level of abuse and severity. Is that something that you folks have heard as well?
That's something that came out, I think, in the initial report. There was one individual, and that there was a meat hook thrown at him.
Paul, there were reports of numerous child laborers who work very, very long hours, 6 days a week, in very dangerous conditions. Can you talk about that?
We had a Hispanic caucus here in Postville, in which some of the workers testified, and yes, we had, again, I had heard rumors of a lot of miners working in the plant. It was pretty obvious at the testimony that they gave to the Hispanic senators that, I mean, I was there. I stood right by where they were testifying, and there was quite a number of them. There was no doubt about it, and anybody that tries to deny it, we might have to just pose the question to them and say, why is it that when the ICE agents discovered that there was miners in the plant, why is it that parents were being called and advised to come over and pick up their miners? Because I know that that's one of the things that has been said, that this is not true. So then I'd like to know why parents had to go pick up kids if they weren't miners.
Paul, what was the role of the St. Bridges Ministry during the raid itself and afterwards?
During the raid, I guess we just, Sister Mary McCauley, who's the administrator of the parish, her and I just went as near as we could get to the plant, and we just tried to let our presence be known, and there was a lot of fear. I mean, there was fears that not only would the raid be occurring at the plant, but that they would be making sweeps throughout the apartment. So basically, people were either taking off and away from here, where they have relatives in other close surrounding towns, or they came over to the parish. So basically, we encouraged people, if they were having those type of fears, that the church would always be open to them, and it didn't take long before people started arriving.
Now, there were 389 undocumented workers, the majority whom I understand are from Guatemala, who were picked up and who have been essentially in prison now. Why don't we pick it up with the point of the community rallying to the support of these workers and responding to the plant? Rabbi?
In terms of the Jewish community's response, in the Twin Cities, there's an organization called Jewish Community Action, which organizes within the Jewish community, among synagogues, around issues of concern, around social justice. And so there was a feeling that we needed to show our support and concern, and they've also been involved in working with the conservative movement on the Heckscher-Tzedek initiative. And so they really decided we needed to, they were raising money to assist the church people who were supporting those who are down there now, who, as I understand it, you know, while husbands are in prison, women and children are in Postville, and Paul, you can tell us their state, but my understanding is their need of support as they have to live, well, not being able to work and awaiting their sentence, they're having to serve their sentence. Jewish Community Action organized together with the Jewish Urban Affairs Council in Chicago. The group came from Madison. There were, I think, three buses from here, two from Madison, two from Chicago, went down to show our concern, and in the process also to try to support the efforts of those at St. Bridges in getting the company to provide support as well to those who have now been put in this very difficult position.
And Rabbi, what is that concern predicated on? Is this about the working conditions in the plant? Is this about the disgrace of kosher meats being prepared this way? Is it about the plight of undocumented workers, or all of those?
As far as the issue of the state of work in the plant now, I would certainly hope that after the raids and all the attention that's come to what's happened, that Agriprocessors has taken some steps to address these issues. So I would certainly hope that they
are taking very seriously the kinds of concerns that were raised going back now a couple of years. So, you know, again, although there was a report in the Des Moines Register about Somali workers that have now been hired and some of their treatment and concerns have been raised about it. So, again, it's not clear what's happening to the plant. We have no access to the plant to really be able to say. But the issue of, in general, what Kashrut should stand for is certainly what our movement is speaking out on and is embodied in this Hechshered Tzedek initiative, which was just released, the standards for which, working with an outfit out of Boston called KLD, that set standards for socially responsible investing and business practices. That's certainly the bigger issue that we want to raise nationally and urge people to strive for the highest possible standard of conduct in kosher food.
So does that mean, aside from the process of preparing what is considered to be kosher certification, that there are moral and ethical principles that you would like to see built into that as well, which hopefully would deal with the abusive conditions that these workers faced?
Well, there's no question that Jewish law speaks very clearly to how employers should treat their workers in terms of issues of salary and conditions and what's fair. And so I think it's very important when talking about kashrut that one not have a narrow definition of kashrut, but that one also take into consideration those ethical laws and principles. And so that's what the Hechshered Tzedek is trying to define. It's drawing on Jewish legal sources and saying these are as important as the issues of the preparation of food, and that both the ritual and the ethical are both very important dimensions that we value and that we want kashrut to stand for. So that's essentially what the Hechshered Tzedek initiative is about.
Paul, what is happening with these workers today, and what would you like to see come out of this terrible situation which yourself and members of the community protested?
Community right here is not just Postville, but it expands all over this country. We have received letters of concern, and every letter of concern has contained a donation. So we have received donations from all over this country. That's the one thing that really makes me proud of this country, is that people are not happy with some of the things that they've heard. Unfortunately, because of the circumstances of how most of these people came into this country, there is no real good outcome. So unfortunately, I think we're going to lose a lot of folks when we already have lost a lot of folks from this community.
Well, I know that the immigrants need material aid and that the church is trying to help them. Can you give us a way to contact the ministry for that purpose?
There is a fund that's been set up. It's called St. Bridget's Hispanic Ministry Fund, care of Sister Mary McCauley, P.O. Box 369, Postville, Iowa 52162. P.O. Box 369, Postville, Iowa 52162.
And let's hope that there is a new system of kosher certification that would include consideration of working conditions in plants where the food is processed. And I'd like to thank Rabbi Harold Kravitz and Paul Rael, Director of the Hispanic Ministries of St. Bridget's Catholic Church in Postville, Iowa, for joining us to elaborate on this terrible raid and the situation that has followed it. Thank you both.
A la luz de la aurora, lo que tanto aclamamos, la noche al caer, sus estrellas, sus tramas,
Mumia Abu-Jamal, Beyond Politics. If TV news channels are any measure, the U.S. presidential elections, now less than 4 months away, are the permanent stuff of headlines. If candidate A sneezes, it's breaking news. If candidate B hiccups, it's film at 11. It's hardly worthy of headlines, but the beast, the media, must be fed. For far too many people, this news overdose on the elections has bred a kind of passivity among millions as they wait in front of TV screens and computers like deer caught in headlights. What happened to anti-war protests? What happened to housing rights protesters? What happened to anti-FISA or Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act activists? People are dulled by the almost sure expectation that the Democrats will prevail in the next election due to the low ratings of the Republican Party and its lame duck president, George W. Bush. And those dull expectations are based upon the totally unfounded faith that a Democratic win of the White House really means an end to the war. Millions have apparently forgotten the bitter lessons from the 2006 midterm elections when Democrats prevailed in congressional elections, formed a slight majority in both houses, and proceeded to do nothing. Peace in Iraq? Off the table. Instead, like lemmings leaping off a cliff, they voted for more and more billions for war. And what of the recently renewed FISA bill, which legalized the lawbreaking of the Bush administration and gave retroactive protection to phone and communications companies which violated prior law? FISA, signed, sealed, and delivered. And even the Democratic candidate, yes, Senator Barack Obama, who blasted the measure, put his John Hancock on it, voting yay. The great abolitionist and women's rights supporter, Frederick Douglass, supported Abraham Lincoln, yet that didn't stop him from protesting against him when he moved too slowly or not at all. Reading his criticisms are still biting, even though over a century has passed. And yet, his teaching remains just as relevant. For Douglass said, power concedes nothing without demand. If people demand nothing, that is precisely what they will get. These lessons from history must teach us today that protesters must protest. Elections aren't endings, they're beginnings, and movements mustn't stop moving. They should protest more. From Death Row.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.
And this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.